I told him, I said, if they ever say anything to you down there about the master's program, I said, you run. Because I said, you ain't staying no longer. Let's grab our Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. You're probably already there. Let's look at verse 44. Verse 44. And the Bible says, and all that believed were together and had all things common. And tonight, we're going to talk about Together We Can Pull the Load. That'll be the title of our sermon tonight, Together We Can Pull the Load. Let's pray, and then you may be seated, I was going to say, but you are seated, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, that you bless Father God this time, and just pray now, Lord, that you would put your hand upon us, Father, tonight. Speak to us now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Used to saying that, amen. I might as well stay used to it because now he's gone. We'll be going back doing it that way again for 39 Sundays, amen. All right, Acts chapter 2, verse 44. And all the believers were together and had all things common. Here in Acts chapter 2, we see they had just finished having their big day, amen. They had a little Pentecost campaign there, right? Had a big day. The church was in the early stages of having to carry on without their, guess what? Founding pastor. Amen. They had to carry on about their founding pastor. So who was their founding pastor? Well, guess who? Jesus Christ. Amen. Had to carry on without him. He had offended a few people. Amen. And just a few. And just a tad bit. And they took him out and they crucified him. Amen. And so he was crucified. They had to carry on without him. They had 50 days of preparation now. He'd gone up to heaven in chapter 1, and meaning Jesus, and he had just left them then. And so now after this 50 days, they finished and had their big day of their big drive and push that they were making. And then he, by the way, he instructed them when he left, amen, in chapter 1, verse 7, 8, unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Did we forget it already? Oh, okay. All right. So, they'd been told what to do right before he left. Then they watched him ascend. In fact, I think it was about verse 11, the angels came and a couple of them said, hey, what y'all looking at? Why stand you there gazing? He gonna come in like manner, amen. That's what they told him about verse 11 there. And so here we have Jesus. He's gone up. There they are, waiting to do the work. They begin to prepare for their campaign immediately, and they spend 50 days preparing for their big day. The day of Pentecost had come to a close now. They'd finished up the big day, and Peter was the man who had preached that day. Remember, he's the one who cursed and swore and all of that, and fished all night, caught nothing. Amen. No wonder he cussed and swore. But he was the man who had messed up there, and then it was just him also that was used by God just 50 days later after he repented and got right, amen, to preach on that day 50 days later. Preached about an 8-minute sermon, they say. And he gets up and preaches his sermon. Doesn't pull any punches, amen. Tells it straight, exactly the way it is. And that day they have a full altar call, amen. And they had about 3,000 saved and baptized. We know that much. Amen. So about 3,000 saved and baptized is what the Bible says. So they had a big day. And it was a wonderful day. And what a big day that was. Amen. And big days are fine and great and all of that and everything. But there's more to it than just the big days. Life still has to go on. Big days are fine. But you can't have a big day every Sunday. You live on all the other weeks of the year outside of the big day. Same thing's true for the church of Jerusalem. Same thing's true for us here today in this day and age at our church and at other independent Baptist churches. So they were commissioned to do something. Go out and win the lost. to Jesus Christ. That's what they were commissioned to do. They had their big day, but it didn't stop there. Now they had their successful campaign. They had 3,000 saved and baptized, but that wasn't over. Their harvest of souls of 3,000 wasn't the end of it. The truth of the matter is tonight, folks, that was just the beginning. That was just the beginning. That was just the beginning. Now, how are they going to accomplish this great task that they've been commissioned to do? How will they be able to do it? Jesus Christ has intended for them to do it one way. Together. 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 He didn't commission just one man to do it. He didn't say, Peter, this falls on your shoulders. He didn't say, James, this falls on your shoulders. Or he didn't even say, just the 12, this falls all on your shoulders. No, he had intended that it would be done together. Together. How do they do it together? How will it be accomplished together? And we've, over the years at our church, seen quite a few baptized, amen. We seem to have a few week dry spell here. Had some people saved and made professions. Mainly they didn't get baptized. They didn't have permission to get them baptized today. But guess what? We've had a lot of people baptized over the years. There's no doubt about that. Those of you who've been here any length of time know that's true. And we've seen lots of things happen. But the question for Lincoln Baptist Church tonight is, there's a big load needs to be pulled, amen. How can we do it together? How can we pull the load together? How can it be done? Let me give you 10 answers tonight to that question. Number one, if you go back to chapter 2 of Acts and look at verse 42. Verse 42, the first part of verse 42 says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So, first of all, by having common faith. By having common faith. How can they pull the load together? By having common faith. By having common faith. That's how they can do it together, amen. Fundamental Bible doctrine, amen. They had Jesus Christ as their Savior. They followed no other belief, no other religion, no other organization, amen, other than the one that Jesus Christ founded. They followed what the apostles taught, amen. If they said, thus saith the Lord, they continued in that direction, amen. They didn't pretend to conform to those beliefs and then live some other way outside of church. No, they lived that way all of the time, amen. They followed that belief system and that doctrine, and it became interwoven with their day-to-day lives, and that's how they lived their lives. They lived it all the time. They believed in salvation by grace alone all the time, amen. They believed in believers' baptism all the time, amen. They believed in once saved, always saved, all the time, so on and so forth, amen. They believe those things all the time. They just say it at church, well, because that's what they believe in at the church, and I want to get along with everybody down there. But really, I think you got to be a good enough person. Or really, I don't think it matters so much if you're baptized by immersion or not. You could be sprinkled. What's the big deal? No, they didn't live that way. Amen. They believed those doctrines and those teachings, and they held to those doctrines and those teachings all the time. They never wavered on that. That's part of the way they did it together. They had a common faith. This also means that they ran with those that had the same faith. They didn't run around with a lost heathen that didn't believe the Bible was the Word of God, or they didn't attend church, or they wouldn't be willing to tell others about Jesus Christ, amen. They believed in separation, amen. They ran with those that had common faith. The Christian today should do the same thing, amen. Should do the same thing. We should have a common faith with one another. That's the only way we're going to be able to get things done here at our church, is by having a common faith, amen. Hey, not only that, they had a common book, amen. They had a common book in order to have a common faith. Folks, there's only one true Bible in the English language for the English-speaking people. It's called the King James Bible, amen. In November, we'll talk more about that, but we talk about it all the time. The King James Bible and the importance of it is very, very important. I've taught that thing, and I've taught that thing, and I've taught that thing for over the last 10 years or more now. And you know what I realize? That I will have to teach that thing, I'll have to teach that thing, I'll have to teach that thing, I'll have to teach that thing all the time. Continually. Why? Because the hour of deception has never been greater than it ever has been. Even Bible-believing Baptists, so to speak, seem to question the book sometimes. Even they are using other versions sometimes, and it creates confusion. It creates confusion. I had a invitation some years ago to go to a prayer meeting with some of the other independent Baptist preachers in town, and one of the fellows, some of you know him, that invited me, heads up the child evangelism thing around here, wanted me to come and meet over at Plains Baptist Church with a bunch of these preachers in town. And he started listing off all these preachers, and he lists off a bunch of names, and I said, well, what's this name? I don't know that one. He said, oh, that's a pastor over at Temple. And I said, well, that's not an independent Baptist church. He said, wow. Garb. He says the same thing. That's not in my book. It's not. Amen. It's not. It's not. It's not. And by the way, to be involved in such an organization, you'd have to be a compromiser anyway. I'm sorry. I know some of you know the individual and you're friends with him. That's fine. You can tell him I said so. He can get on the internet and hear me say it. You have to be a compromiser to be involved in such an organization. You'd have to be. You would have to be. Because to be involved in that, you would have to be interwoven with all these watered-down outfits and watered-down churches. You would have to be. You would have to be. You know, nice fella, I'm sure, and all of that, and visit our services. Some of you remember several years ago, several times. But after he had a lengthy conversation with me, I noticed he never came back. Because he realized that I wasn't going to be interested in getting involved in his organization or interested in supporting him. And praise the Lord for anybody that ever gets saved, and they do get some people saved and all of that, and that's great. But listen, the only way we're going to accomplish this thing is by doing it together. And the only way we're going to be able to do it together is by having a common faith. By having a common faith. You know, you say, well, what's the matter with some place like Temple? Well, here's the thing. You say, well, they use a King James Bible there. Yeah, but not in all their Sunday school classrooms. They have some adult teachers, I've been told, that teach out of other versions of the Bible. And there might be some great people over there, and I'm sure there is. And I know some people that go over there and all of that. But here's the thing. That's fine. I respect them. I love them. But they belong over there, and we belong over here. Amen. We don't belong our churches mixing together for church functions and church things. I don't belong going to a prayer meeting with their pastor. Because obviously he doesn't have enough backbone and a strong enough stand if he supposedly believes the King James Bible only, but he can't back up what his Sunday school teachers teach in a classroom. Then that tells me that's a pastor that doesn't have control of his church. Amen. Amen. It's very true. It's very true. And so, oh, preacher, but this is an old story. We've heard this for years now. Well, we still, old illustrations still come in handy because it's still true. Amen. It's still true. And that's why we keep bringing it up again and so forth, because it's important to realize that we've got to be standing solid on the King James Bible. I can't mix with churches that are not solid on the King James Bible. There's only one Bible. There's only one Bible. The other ones full of are full of corruption, errors, perversions, false teachings, false doctrines, bloodless books, all of those things, and we have to stand on the one that's true, and that's it means we've got to have a common faith. Now here's the thing. The Bible says we'll be a remnant. There will be a remnant left at the end. That's what we're becoming, the remnant. Amen. It's evident. The remnant. The pews aren't full tonight. But wait a minute, if we took all the people that have attended over the last 10 years regular on Sunday night services, we'd barely have an empty spot in here tonight. Where are they all at? They don't want to be a part of a remnant. Amen, preacher. They don't want to be a part of a remnant. But if you stick by the stuff, you're going to be a remnant. And you even become a remnant with those who are supposed to believe like you, you become a remnant. And then pretty soon they say, wow, that pastor Perry is so fuddy-duddy down there. Yeah, that's funny. I'm not that old, though. That's the problem. I'm one of the youngest pastors in town. It's funny how I'm the one that's the old fuddy-duddy. No, I've just been trained right, and I stick by the stuff. And God's pricked my heart a long time ago to stick by the stuff, and that's what's happened. I stick by the stuff, and I find that, hey, the more I stick by the stuff, the more it seems to separate, because it's by having a common faith. How else are we going to do it together, preacher? Well, I'll tell you, by sharing a common vision. Look at verse 47 of Acts chapter 2. A common vision. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were winning folks to Christ, guess what? Every day. Amen. Every day. Every day. They were baptizing folks every day. Every day. According to 1 Corinthians 12:13, we are baptized into the body, meaning the body of Christ or the local New Testament church, amen. And of course, baptism doesn't save anybody, but it says they were being added to the church every day. That means they were baptizing somebody every day, amen. They were serious about these things, folks. They were working on the Great Commission daily. There's three parts to it. Get them saved, get them baptized, and teach them the Word of God. Three parts to it. That's why we strive for all three parts every week. That's why we strive for all three parts every week. And that's important to remember. Now, we must have a common vision. A common vision. Folks, we've got to have a common vision for our city. Remember last week's sermon a little bit, we use that Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Amen. Without vision. Hey, I'd say tonight, Lincoln's perishing. Without vision, they perish. Amen. They perish. Without vision, the majority of the city will die and go to hell. Without vision, there'll be no bus kids being picked up by buses and brought to church and being reached. Without vision, amen. See, it takes a vision. It takes a vision. Half our singing group up here tonight started out as bus riders to our church. It takes a vision. See, some people say, well, you know, the bus kids, they're not worth much. Says who? They can be pretty valuable, I think. They can be pretty valuable. My own wife was a bus kid. They can be pretty valuable. Bus captain, do you have a vision? Sunday school teacher, do you have a vision for those kids in that class? Do you have a vision? Do you have a vision? See, you've got to have a vision for that little kid whose daddy beats him at night. You got to have a vision. You got to have a vision for that little kid whose mother doesn't care about him that much because she's strung out on drugs half the time. You got to have a vision. A vision. A vision. You got to have a vision. Hey, soul winner, do you have a vision for the lost and dying souls that are in our city? Do you have a vision? Remember that little story I mentioned last week about a city in America. Two men came in the afternoon and they drove up and the two men came and maybe you weren't here, didn't hear it. I'll say it just briefly again. Knocked on the door. Woman answered the door. She said, I'm sorry, you'll have to come back when my husband's home. The men left. A couple hours later, they came back when the husband got off work, got out of the car, walked up to the door, knocked on the door. The door was answered. They spoke for a minute and then was invited inside. And then, long story short, those two men won that husband and that wife to Christ in that living room that afternoon. The next day, the whole family came to church. Amen. When they came to church, they saw something on the front door of that church. Remember that last week? Where there is no vision, the people perish. That was a sign that was seen by everybody who came into the church. Well, they went ahead and they saw that, and they went on into the church. They sat through the services that day, and by the invitation time, the whole family was down front. The little kids got saved, and the entire family got baptized that day. They started coming every Sunday morning, then they started coming on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and then pretty soon, after a while, a few years go by, one of the boy in the family surrenders to be a missionary and goes off to Bible college. Becomes a missionary to a faraway land on the other side of the world. Hey, one of his biggest supporting churches as he goes is that home church that they got saved in right there. And as he goes and becomes a missionary, some time passes and he notices that the support checks seem to be fading out a little bit, hit and miss here, hit and miss there. He's not sure. Then he receives some letters from home, from his family, and they tell him, well, they're not running the buses anymore at the church. Then a little while later, he gets another letter from the family, and the letter says, well, we've decided to leave this church, and we go over to another town, to another church. The missionary comes home for a visit, decides that he's going to go down and visit the old church where he got saved at. As he comes down, he notices that the church isn't kept up very well, and he notices that the yard isn't mowed and kept, and he notices that the building seems to be in poor condition. And as he goes and he looks around at an empty building that's basically out of business now, and buses that sit on the side of the yard and sit there and rot and rust away and corrupt into nothing, he goes and looks around hoping to find someone there and finds no one. As he leaves and he begins to go out to take off, he turns around and he looks and he notices that something has happened to that building, the very front sign. The W has fallen off the word that was there. And instead of saying, where there is no vision, the people perish, the sign says, now, here there is no vision, the people perish. That's happened all over America, folks. That's happened all over America. All over America. They say, well, preacher, there's lots of churches, even lots of Baptist churches. How many of them do you know that really win souls? How many? How many of them do you know of that really run buses? Not that many. How many of you know of that really make an effort to try to reach people at every level they can? How many of them do you know? There's not very many. Why? Because there's not much vision. How are we going to do it together? By having a common vision. By having a common vision. We got to share a common vision. Without a common vision, we won't be able to get the job done tonight. Without a common vision, we won't be able to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. We've got to have a vision tonight. We've got to have a vision for our church. We've got to have a vision for our own life. We've got to have a vision for our family and serving the Lord here at this church. Think about somebody beside yourself. Amen. Have a vision. Only way we can do it together is by having a common vision. Number three tonight, by having common prayers. By having common prayers. Look at verse 42. Verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Notice prayers, amen. By having common prayers, they had church-wide prayer, amen. They had individual prayer time with away from each other, and then they had common prayer time also. The key was that their prayers were common, amen. They were together in their prayer thoughts. They were together in their prayer requests, amen. We can do it together if we have common prayers one with another, amen. We can pull the load together by having common prayers, by spending time in prayer, by laboring in prayer, by caring in prayer, amen, and sharing. We've got to have common prayers. Number four, common resources. Common resources. Look at verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. By financial giving. By financial giving. By financial giving. They helped one another in the church. They gave what they had to fix the roof, amen. They were completely unselfish, amen. Listen, the word stewardship isn't a dirty word, folks. I know it won't be long, and January will be here once fall gets us here. It seems like it's not too long, and then the wintertime comes, amen. It's not too long, and then January comes, and then it's not too long, and somebody gets mad again. And they'll say, boy, it never fails. A preacher's just a money grabber. That's all he's ever after. And truthfully, we're doing pretty good financially, but you know, stewardship's important. Giving is important. Being involved and investing in the work is important. It's important. It's necessary. It's the only way we'll be able to pull a load is by having common resources. Number five, common fellowship. Common fellowship, verse 42 also. And verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Then notice what it says, and fellowship. And fellowship. Huh. Let me define the word fellowship from Webster's Dictionary for you. Companionship, mutual association, a confederacy, a partnership, joint interest, company, a state of being together. That's the entire definition in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. Huh. That sounds like something that's needed, isn't it? A lot of people seem to not understand what fellowship is. But let me say that we all need good Christian fellowship. Amen. Philippians 1:5 says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. There is a fellowship, though, we are to avoid, folks. 2 Corinthians 6:14 tells us, amen, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Concerns me as a pastor when some don't want to partake much in Christian fellowship. Concerns me when folks want to rush away from church all the time. What's so exciting out there when you're supposed to be getting a piece of heaven in here, Christian? What's so exciting, and what's got you? What are you adorning so much on the television set at home, or wherever it is you're rushing off to so quickly? What is it that? I'm not talking about somebody had to leave early one time. I'm talking about this. We got people in our church that leave like that all the time. I can barely get a hold of you to shake your hand. You're out that door so fast. What is it that you're rushing off to? You're supposed to be spending some time in fellowship with believers. But you come late and leave early. How do you fellowship with anybody? You're barely here. Amen. It's true. You need Christian fellowship to strengthen you. We need Christian fellowship to strengthen us as a church. Without that Christian fellowship, we're going to have a hard time pulling the load together. Because we've got to be common together here. We can't be common together without that fellowship when the fellowship's lacking. I don't understand why we wouldn't want to be involved in that fellowship. I don't find the lost fellowship of the heathen to be more interesting than fellowship with folks that believe in the blood of Christ. I don't find that to be better. I find that to be less interesting. I find that to be less of something that I want to have. Now, if your life doesn't live for God, then you probably don't want Christian fellowship. 1 John 1, let's look at it together. Save your spot here in Acts because we're coming back. I was going to read it to you, but let's read it together. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1 verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have, what's it say? Fellowship with who? One with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. And I remember when I got right with God back in 1996, my wife and I, we were some of the first ones at the church. And we were almost always the last ones to leave the church. We want to go home. We liked it there. In fact, the pastor, whoever was cleaning, closing up the building, usually had to kick us out. And I said, well, it's time to go. Start shutting the lights off. I said, well, we just like being here. I said, we'd rather be here than at home. I said, we love our home. We don't have a bad home, but we'd rather be here. This is the house of God. We love it. We love talking with God's people. We love fellowshipping with God's people. We love spending time with God's people. Every time it comes an opportunity, we don't want it to end. We wanted to stay there as long as we could. You're supposed to have fellowship one with another if you're walking with God. Amen. That's what the Bible just said. That wasn't what I said. That was what the Bible said. Now, as far as the church at Jerusalem, I believe their fellowship was threefold. Their communion with the apostles. They wanted to keep close to their own teachers. Amen. This helped them be in opposition to schisms in the church. In other words, fightings and so forth that could cause a separation. And then they were obedient to their spiritual instructors. So I believe they had a fellowship there, communion with the apostles. But also they had communion one with another, or in other words, fellowship. As the fellowship of saints in heaven is a considerable part of the happiness of heaven, so the fellowship of the saints on earth is sort of a little bit like heaven on earth, as I said a little bit ago. Amen. It's a little bit of heaven on earth. It's important, folks. The comfort of our lives depends much upon the society that we surround ourselves with. The old-time saints were all of one mind and one accord. And therefore they made the body of Christ fit together the way it was supposed to. Because they were in this thing together. Together. Together, together, together. Amen. Amen. Well, this is tough, man. It wasn't supposed to be a tough point here. You're quiet. You know I'm talking about you since you're laughing the most. Mutual assistance. Let me give you number three. Let me give you a third thing as far as this threefold fellowship, that is. Mutual assistance which they gave and received. A communication or free distribution to the necessities of each other. They did by love serve one another. Even to the point that if they had to part with one of their possessions in order to help the other one out, they would do it. They would do it. This liberality and mutual supplying of one another's wants and needs showed how much they esteemed the others. It showed how much they cared. It showed how much they were willing to give. It showed how much they would do to help the others so that the body would fit together still correctly. Because if somebody else gets in trouble and falls out, what happens? The body's weakened. If the body's weakened, what happens? The work of Christ suffers. Because not as much will be done for Christ as what could have been done. Folks, we can do it together. We've got to be united in heart and affection, though, one toward another. We've got to have that common fellowship is necessary. See, together we can pull the load together. Number six, common services. Common services, go back to Acts chapter 2. I told you I'd give you 10 answers. Here's the sixth one. Common services. Look at verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Notice they were together. What does that mean? The little word unity. They had unity there. Amen. They obviously met together for church services. Amen. Notice they continued daily in the temple and in the house to house. Amen. In verse 46, that is anyway, that they continued together and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Verse 46, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They spent time fellowshipping with each other. They went to the temple, I believe, for several reasons. It wasn't the actual church services, because Christians weren't going to the temple anymore for sacrifice. So why not, preacher? Well, let's see. They had their lamb. Amen. His name was Jesus. They didn't need to go sacrifice a lamb down at the temple anymore. Okay? They had Jesus, so they had their lamb. They had their lamb. But they had, and of course, he was a permanent sacrifice. But I do believe that maybe it was a good place to pray. I do believe it was probably a wonderful environment, because at the time when things were going on, there was going to be an area of where they could find some silence and so forth. I also believe that they went there because of the fact that that was the business center or hub of the city around there. At certain times of day, people were coming and going through those gates constantly. There was no doubt a certain market area and so forth not far from there. There was a lot of things that went on and was conducted business-wise at the temple. They were soul winning and winning people to Christ there also. So there was a lot of things going on there. A lot of things going on. But also they went from house to house. I believe this was for church services. I believe also for fellowship. They did not have a church building. We have a church building tonight, amen. They didn't have a church building. A lot of their... One time somebody said to me, they said, this church over here, they said they're going to, they said there's something about it you need to know. And I said, what's that? And they said, well, you need to understand it's in a house. I said, okay. I said, so what? They said, well, do you hear what I said? They said, it's in a house. I said, a lot of them in the Bible were in houses. Amen. And it was in a house. Amen. So what they had was a house to use, and they used that house for the church. It was nothing that was like, it was a common, they used it like a building, like a church building, but it was a house. And apparently this person thought I should have found that to be odd, but I said, hey, all the churches in the Bible were in a house, amen? They had them in somebody's house, amen? That's what went on. In this particular case, they were just using a house. But hey, they had services. They didn't have a church building, a permanent church building. They had to go from place to place. By the way, a lot of times they had to be on the run. Amen. There was people wanting to kill them. So I believe the breaking of bread that they had, it could have certainly been a form of fellowship, but it could have been the Lord's Supper. It was been the second church ordinance involved. Amen. The first one, of course, baptism. And I also believe that they ate meals together in the form of fellowship. Breaking of bread. Some people will say, well, we're going to eat at the church. Some people come and say, we just had somebody recently that we were drawing attention to that had come to our church before. And they'd come to our church on Sunday night and they'd come downstairs. This was quite some time back. And they'd sit there and watch the rest of us eat and they wouldn't eat nothing. And they'd say, While I don't believe in eating in the house of God, I fast when I go to the house of the Lord. And so they look down on us for eating. But there's nothing wrong with that. They can tend they're super spiritual all they want to. They was dressed like an abomination when they came here anyway, but then they look down their nose at us for eating something after service. I said, we feasted on the Word of God for spiritual nourishment, amen. And we're going to feast on the food downstairs, amen. But breaking of bread, fellowship one with another, that's all scriptural. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. By the way, this is just a building, folks. Amen. We call it the house of God. It is. But it's not the same thing as the temple. Amen. It's not the same thing as the temple. And so it's not as if we can't do something like that in here. And like it's treading on sacred ground or something like that. And I think that's what their concept was, perhaps. Now, we can do it together tonight, folks. If we have common services. This means we got to have people that attend faithfully. Amen. The life of me, I can't worry about, you know, people who are worried about whether they have a place to serve. I've got to see that you're here faithfully. So, preacher, I want this spot here. Well, you got to come to all the services. I can't start giving you spots out. And I know you're well-meaning, but some of you want spots, but I got to see that you're faithful. Got to see it. We've got to have you here. Amen. These guys in Jerusalem, they were together for all the services. Amen. All the time. Amen. That's what God wanted them to do. And that's what they did. That's how they did it together. Amen. They were together in services, common in services. I'll say something on Sunday night or Wednesday night, and it never fails. Somebody come up and ask me a question. And I say, we used to have somebody do that here all the time. And they'd come hit and miss all the time. And then, preacher, what about this? Da, 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 da. I said, I just talked about that last Wednesday night. Oh, well, I missed. Okay, buy the CD. Well, I don't have to do all that. Can you just answer my question? I said, it'd be simpler for me if you just buy the CD. Amen. Simpler for me, because I done spent, you know, 10 minutes in a sermon or a Bible study talking about it, and now you want me to spend 10 more minutes. Why don't you just go buy the CD? Should have been in your spot, amen. Be easier for me if you had just been here. Of course, I know they scratch their head. They say, well, I don't understand that. Well, listen, I know of a pastor in Mississippi who won't even counsel anybody that doesn't tithe, and that's Dr. Ron Westmoreland. Now, I don't take that hard of a stand, but you know what? He doesn't counsel. And when he was here and preached at our church, he said, Brother Painter, he said, I don't counsel anybody who doesn't tithe. Period. He said, my time's too valuable. Our church is too big. He said, they don't tithe. He said, they don't get my time for a private counseling session. Now, that may sound bad to some of you, but probably only the ones that don't tithe. Amen. Tell you what, I told him, I said, well, I don't have a problem with it. I said, I don't know if I'm ready to take that kind of stand here, but I said, I don't have a problem with it. I said, if I went to your church, I wouldn't have a problem with it. So why not? Because I tithe. If I went to your church, I'd tithe, so you'd give me a counseling appointment, because I tithe. Folks, it's important. It's important that we're together on this thing. Hey, number seven, common praise. Common praise. They praised God together. Look at verse 47. They praised God together. Amen. Praising God. Praising God. See, they praised God. They sang hymns together. Amen. They praised God together. This means they praised their fellow members. Amen. When they did something good, they complimented them. They praised them on it for what they've done. Hey, guess what? They praised God together. We need to praise God together. Amen. That's what we need to do. Number eight, common joy. Verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Notice that. With gladness. They had gladness. And notice they had singleness of heart. It says, that means they had their joy together with each other. Folks, together we can pull the load. If we'll have joy together. Gladness and singleness of heart. Singleness of heart. That means they were together. They were all on the same track, the same tune. They were all thinking the same direction. They were all wanting to pull the same way. Amen. That's the only way you can pull a load is by pulling the same way. Amen. I'm not going to be able, we use the train for that. I'm not going to be able to pull that thing, amen, if we got an engine on the other end pulling the other way. We're going to kind of snap in the middle, probably. Yeah, it's not going to work. We get off track. Number nine, don't worry. I know you're hungry, and so am I. We'll get there soon. Number nine, common testimony. Verse 47, also a common testimony. That is, praising God and having favor with all the people. Notice, having favor with all the people. Our testimony does matter, folks. They gained favor with all the people. They were having a great harvest of souls, amen. As you can see, we can do it together if we have a common testimony as a church, amen. By the way, that's why we preach righteousness all the time, amen. Because people are looking how we carry ourselves. Is there something different about you than everybody else? What makes you different? It does matter how the church people live, how they live their lives, how we... It can mean heaven or hell for somebody. Why would they want to come and be just like us if we weren't different than everybody else that's out there? Why would they do that? It doesn't make any sense. We got to have a common testimony, amen. If we're to pull the load together, we must share that common testimony. Number 10, let's look at verse 45. Number 10, verse 45, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Common blessings. Common blessings. When one was blessed, they shared some of the extra to the others and the church as a whole. When they were blessed, they gave. They shared it with the rest of the church. They helped the work of God. When one's been blessed, they gave more. All receive some benefit from the blessing. We too can do it together if we have common blessings. Amen. When the church receives a blessing, we are all blessed. Together we can be blessed. Amen. Together we can pull the load together. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Together we can pull the load. Together we can reach this city for Christ. Together we can see lives changed. Together we can see people helped. Together we can see something happen spiritually.